Greetings of grace, mercy, and peace be unto you from God our Father, from our Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. Now our text for this day of Pentecost is taken from the Gospel of St. John. We will read from chapter 15, verse 26. We're going to read through chapter 16, verse 27. And I may actually add to that later, or 28. But I may add to the end of that to that later. But anyways, we will read John chapter 15, verse 26 through 16, 28, where we read in the name of our Lord. But when the Comforter is come, whom I will send unto you from the Father, even the Spirit of truth, which proceedeth from the Father, he shall testify of me. And ye also shall bear witness, because ye have been with me from the beginning. These things have I spoken unto you, that ye should not be offended. They shall put you out of the synagogues. Yea, the time cometh, that whosoever killeth you will think that he doeth God service. And these things will they do unto you, because they have not known the Father nor me. But these things have I told you, that when the time shall come, ye may remember that I told you of them. And these things I said not unto you at the beginning, because I was with you. But now I go my way to him that sent me, and none of you asketh me, whither goest thou? Because I have said these things unto you, sorrow hath filled your heart. Nevertheless, I tell you the truth. It is expedient for you that I go away. For if I go not away, the Comforter will not come unto you, but if I depart, I will send him unto you. And when he is come, he will reprove the world of sin, and of righteousness, and of judgment. Of sin, because they believe not on me. Of righteousness, because I go to my Father, and ye see me no more. Of judgment, because the prince of this world is judged. I have yet many things to say unto you, but ye cannot bear them now. Howbeit, when he, the Spirit of truth, is come, he will guide you into all truth. For he shall not speak of himself, but whatsoever he shall hear, that shall he speak. And he will show you things to come. He shall glorify me, for he shall receive of mine and shall show it unto you. All things that the Father hath are mine. Therefore said I that he shall take of mine and shall show it unto you. A little while, and ye shall not see me. And again a little while, and ye shall see me, because I go to the Father. Then said some of his disciples among themselves, What is this that he saith unto us? A little while, and ye shall not see me. And again a little while, and ye shall see me. And because I go to the Father. They said therefore, What is this that he saith? A little while. We cannot tell what he saith. Now Jesus knew that they were desirous to ask him, and said unto them, Do ye inquire among yourselves of that I said? A little while, and ye shall not see me, and again a little while, and ye shall see me? Verily, verily, I say unto you, that ye shall weep and lament, but the world shall rejoice. And ye shall be sorrowful, but your sorrow shall be turned into joy. A woman, when she is in travail, hath sorrow, because her hour is come. But as soon as she is delivered of the child, she remembereth no more the anguish, for joy that a man is born into the world. And ye know therefore, and ye now therefore have sorrow. But I will see you again, and your heart shall rejoice, and your joy no man taketh from you. And in that day ye shall ask me nothing. Verily, verily, I say unto you, whatsoever ye shall ask the Father in my name, he will give it you. Hitherto have ye asked nothing in my name. Ask, and ye shall receive, that your joy may be full. These things have I spoken unto you in Proverbs. But the time cometh when I shall no more speak unto you in Proverbs. But I shall show you plainly of the Father. At that day ye shall ask in my name, and I say not unto you that I will pray to the Father for you, for the Father himself loveth you, because you have loved me, and have believed that I came out from God. I came forth from the Father, and I am come into the world. Again, I leave the world and go to the Father. Amen. Let us pray. Gracious and almighty God, how great you truly are. For Father, even as your Son promised, you would not leave us as orphans, but rather that you would always be with us. So you gave us your Spirit. Father, let us this day appreciate that gift. Sanctify us in the truth. Your word is truth. For Jesus' name's sake, amen. There's a lot of things to cover on a day like today. This is a pretty amazing day. The whole speaking in tongues thing is easy. That's child's play. That's no big deal for God at all. You know, that's really almost nothing. We focus on that, like that's like the big thing. And it's really not. It's not, the speaking in tongues was simply evidencing the fact that now the reality had been given, that now God was with human beings. It was just done to show this fact. It was not done to be a thing in and of itself. The reality of things is to realize the nearness of God, to understand that now God is not some distant thing floating out on some throne someplace, but rather that God is now present. God is always present. God is with us. The name of Jesus, you remember, that Joseph was given, Immanuel, to understand that now this is God with us. God is present with us. That God was now fulfilling his promise, that God would always be with us. And this is really the sense of Pentecost. To realize very clearly that when we come into this place, when we come into the church, that God is with us. Then when we go out the door, God is with us. It's to realize that constantly, wherever we are, whatever we are engaged with, that God is with us. That we would understand and recognize and know that reality, that God is not far from us, that God is near us, that God is present with us, that God is in us, that God is ministering to us constantly, that there is no place, there is no time, there is nothing that we can ever do to be separated from God, that God would always be with us. That's the sense of the day of Pentecost. The reality is knowing, it is knowing by faith, it is knowing and realizing that overwhelming presence of God. It is feeling it, it is experiencing it, it is knowing it as a reality that every day, in every moment, even when we're asleep, that we are God's. We belong to God, and God is with us. And just some things before we get into the text, just to understand some things very important about what's going on in this world. It's very necessary to understand. All of these people that received the Spirit on the day of Pentecost, they're all Jews. This rise of anti-Semitism in the United States and throughout the world is disgusting. Because as a matter of fact, all of these people, these are our brothers and sisters by blood through Jesus Christ. We are joined together with them. These are the people to whom this Spirit first came. He descended upon them. And they were the ones who were given this marvelous utterance to be able to direct to the rest of the world. There is none of us who is a Christian apart from that work. Apart from that wonderful gift. So it's very significant for us to understand. And that this was the festival of weeks. 50 days from the first day of the Passover. They celebrate this festival of the earliest harvest. And you remember that when we read Romans 8, that's what Paul says. We have the first fruits of the Spirit. That's not incidental. He's talking about the festival of weeks. He's talking about and indicating very clearly, well, this is the first fruits of the harvest. He says, now the Spirit has been given. The first fruits of the harvest have been presented. Now the harvest is going on. And the harvest is now the world to realize. And that's why they spoke in tongues, was to understand very clearly, well, yes, You can understand, no matter where you're from, this gospel is for you. The mighty deeds of God, they're for you. This is now universal. It's a universal grace of God. God has embraced all people as his own. And this is really the first thing that we come to in understanding this. The other thing we understand is last week we talked about the ascension, is to understand the importance of the ascension. The other aspect of the ascension is to understand Jesus went to cast out Satan. Satan was cast out, but also he sent the Holy Spirit. And that's exactly what he tells his disciples. If I don't go, he says, then this one won't come to you. He says, so I'm going so that you will receive the Holy Spirit, so that God will be given to you. And then the other thing I want you to understand, and this is nothing against the King James, but that word is not comforter. Parakletos in Greek is not comforter. The word actually is advocate. And actually, if you wanted to translate it into modern English, you would call him lawyer. He's the lawyer. He's your advocate. In other words, you don't need to talk before God. You have another person that's present that talks for you. You have a person who represents you. He stands in your place. He's called to your place. That's what this Greek word means, parakletos. It means that now you have this representative before God. And you understand, when we read Romans again, it says, we don't even know how to pray as we ought. We don't even know what to say. He says, so God has given us the Spirit, and the Spirit speaks for us with groanings, utterings that we can't understand. He speaks to us because the mind of God is in the Spirit, and God knows his own mind. That Spirit is in you. Speaking in tongues is child's play. That was easy. The Spirit of God is in you. The Spirit of God is living in you. When you pray, you don't just pray. God prays for you. God prays with you. God hears your prayer because he utters your prayer. You see, this is the big thing about the day of Pentecost. The big thing about the day of Pentecost is not speaking in tongues. The big thing about the day of Pentecost is that God loves us so much that he consistently wants to be with us, that he can't get close enough to us, that God can't honestly get close enough to us. God loves us so much that what he really wants is to be present in us and with us, that God joins himself to us in such a way that we can't be separated from him, that in our every moment of our life, that within our mind and within our heart, God is present by the Holy Spirit. And this is really the point. This is the reality of recognizing the day of Pentecost. The day of Pentecost is not a singular event that took place in history, as with all the things of the scripture. It's an enduring reality. It's something that takes place but continues to take place. It's always happening. God is the greatest quantum physicist in the world. He knows and understands the reality of time as a consistent present. We live out time in this kind of weird way that we think that's right. That's the way time goes. You know, we look at a clock. Everybody looks at clocks when the sermons are going on. Believe me, I catch you. You know, I catch you all the time. So that you understand right away, we look at clocks. That's how we measure time. We look at that. We can't live in that sense of the eternally present, but we do because the Holy Spirit is within us. You understand that we are eternally present. And that's why we talk about when we die, we don't die. Because we're eternally present. The physical body ceases to function, but we are eternally present. And people sit around and say, well, what are we like? Am I going to be like a teenager? I looked better when I was a teenager, so I want to be like that. You know, and things like that. Instead of understanding, well, no, you're just eternally present. There's no way to explain this. There's no way to go beyond this. You're just eternally present. You are always just you in absolute perfection because you have been washed, because you have been redeemed, because you are pure and holy in the sight of your God. You see, the reality of this is this testimony of the Holy Spirit. It's this reality that brings us to this place of the understanding of what's in our text. When Jesus says this, when he talks about this parakletos, when he talks about this advocate, he says, this is the advocate. He says, and I'm going to send him to you from the Father. He is the Spirit, and we translate this word truth, but actually in Greek, this word means more along the lines of reality. He's real. He's the real God. You understand that in life, we make a lot of things out to be God. We're the biggest idol makers on the planet. You know, we invent God in our image all the time. And I've told you before, if you get the opportunity, read Luther's commentary on the 117th Psalm. It's really pretty. It's only two verses. He wrote 44 pages. That's Luther. And when you read that, you understand very clearly what he was talking about is we're the biggest idol makers on the planet. And he says in there one of the greatest things, he says, you cannot know God unless you first know him as the devil. And what he meant by that is to understand that we create God in our image all the time. We create gods. And he says, then all of a sudden God shows up and smashes the living daylights out of that idol, and we think that's the devil. He says, no, that's God. God is ridding us of our idolatry. God is bringing us to the truth because the Spirit is the real God. It's the Spirit who testifies with our spirit. It is the Spirit that shows us the things of God. This is the reality that Jesus is talking about. He says, this Spirit of reality comes forth from the Father. And he says, and I'm sending that to you. He says, I'm sending you this Spirit. And what's he going to do? He's going to tell you about me. He says he's going to testify about me. People get all wrapped up in the Holy Spirit. They want all these great things to happen. I was a charismatic for 5 years. I've seen pretty much all of it. You know, they tell you all these sort of things and things like that. The reality of things is that the Holy Spirit has one job. That's to testify of Jesus. The Spirit testifies to Jesus. If people tell you something that they say came from the Holy Spirit and it's not about Jesus, they're lying. His job is to testify of Jesus. He points to Jesus. He draws us all the time to Jesus. He brings us to Jesus. And that's why Jesus himself says, I told you this. He says, because you're going to be my witnesses. He says, not only is the Spirit bearing witness, but you're also going to bear witness because you've been with me and I have taught you this. I've shown you this. He says, and I did this so that you wouldn't be deceived. He says, so that you wouldn't, he uses this word, offended. The term in Greek actually means stumbling into sin. You wouldn't stumble into sin. And he says, and for that reason, he says, they're going to unsynagogue you. Now, we don't have that word in English, but in Greek, that's what this means. You're going to be unsynagogued. It means you're going to be thrown out. He says, you will be expelled from the synagogue. And he says, and not only that, he says, but I want you to realize that the people who kill you will think that they're doing a service. They're doing an offering, this Greek word means. They're doing an offering to God. And he says, this is how extreme this is. This is how contrary the things of the flesh are to the things of the spirit. That people are authentically going to think that they're doing highly ungodly things in the name of God. Remind you of anything? Welcome to the history of the church. No, this is precisely the point. This is exactly what has gone on for centuries. Is to understand, well, why? What is the problem here? The problem is that we rely on our reason, on our flesh, instead of understanding the indwelling power of the Holy Spirit and the power of the Word and sacrament, of understanding this sense of knowing the reality of God from the Word. And he says, so this is what's going to happen to you. He says, because they don't know my Father or me. And that's precisely the problem. We don't curse the world. How can we curse the world? The world doesn't know any better. It does what it does because that's what it does. The only hope for the world is grace. It's grace. It's grace. It's the grace that we have received. It's not that we curse it. We embrace it. We embrace it as our own. I hate to tell you, where are we? We're in the world. Jesus even says that. We're in the world. We're not of it, but we are in it for good purpose. Because the world needs to hear from us. It needs to see us. It needs to know the power of the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit is poured out, the prophet Joel says, upon all flesh. It now goes forth into the entirety of the world so that people would hear and know the gospel. They would be brought to the truth, that they would repent and believe, that they would become part of that blood-washed throng, that they would know, that they would now be blessed in that reality, that they would have that peace of knowing, because God is not angry with the world. We made that up. Once Jesus was done on the cross, the wrath of God was placated. We have been sent into the world, endued with power from on high by the Holy Spirit of God, in order to bear witness of this wonderful gospel. And yes, does that mean people are going to be nice to us? No, they aren't. Jesus never said, people are going to be nice to you. He said, here, I want you to understand, you're going to go out into the world and everybody's going to treat you like Bozo the Clown. No, he didn't say that. You're going to go out into the world, and he says, and you are going to meet with difficulty, he says. As a matter of fact, they're going to believe religiously that they are doing God the biggest favor possibly if they can get rid of you. But he says very clearly, he says, it's because they don't know any better. He says, but I told you this. So then the day when it happens, you'll remember, I told you this. He says, but I've got to go. And I love that. He says, but I got to go. He says, but I got to go. He says, because if I don't go, he says, things are going to be much worse for you. And you see how we are. We're kind of like Mary on Easter Sunday, you know. We want to grab hold of Jesus. Hold on to him, you know. We're going to hold you. We're going to keep you here. Jesus says, you can't cling to me like that. You can't. He says, I got to go. I've got to go. To realize very clearly, he says, it's better for you. It's beneficial for you if I go. Because if I go, you'll have more of God than you could ever have ever anticipated. Because I won't be here as one physical presence. Now God will indwell you. God will be with you. God will be present with you everywhere. You won't need to come seeking for me. He says, because you will have already been found. And because you have been found, he goes on to say very clearly, he says, you understand that when he comes, this is what he's going to do for you. First of all, he's going to show the world its problem. He says, because the problem with the world is unbelief. He says, so he's going to show the world its problem. He's going to show them. The problem is that they didn't trust me, that they didn't realize who I was. And then he says, and I'm also going to, and this word means kind of reprimand. He says, I'm going to reprimand them because of righteousness. He says, and what he means by this is his vindication. He says, in other words, I told you that I would suffer and die, I would rise from the tomb, and as a matter of fact, I would ascend to be with the Father. And that's why he says, I'm going to show them that this was right, that I did rise from the dead, that as a matter of fact, I have ascended to the Father. And that's why he says, you won't see me anymore. But then he also says, I want you to realize, I'm also going to reprimand them because of judgment, because the prince of this world is judged. And you understand, we talked about that last week. When he ascended into the heavens, Satan was cast out. There was no place left there for any accusation against any believer. That now there was no possibility of us ever being found wanting before God. Because now, and we didn't read that part of Romans, but you read Romans. I'm making my confirmands read Romans because that's the most important thing they'll ever do in their life, is to understand and read Romans, is to know and to understand. Because you get to that beautiful chapter 8 and you understand there is now no condemnation to those who are in Christ Jesus. That we understand, and that's what he's talking about here. He's sending the Holy Spirit. For what purpose? Because now no accusation can be brought against you. The blood of Jesus Christ cleanses us from all iniquity, and we have peace with God. And Jesus says, I have a lot more to tell you. He says, you couldn't stand it now. He says, if I was to tell you all this stuff now, he says, you wouldn't be able to understand it. But after the day of Pentecost, after the day of Pentecost, now we can understand. Now we can know. Now we can read Romans from end to end and realize what Paul is actually talking about is this wonderful gift, this indwelling God, the power of this indwelling God. And that's why Jesus says, when this advocate comes, the Spirit of truth, he's going to guide you into all truth. Because he's not going to speak from himself. He's going to talk from me. He's going to speak to you from me. And everything that I've got, he says, he will give to you. Now, there you go. And now you understand why we all need to be reprimanded at times for our unbelief. Because Jesus says that everything that he has, I will give, he will give you everything I have. Now let that sink in for a minute. He says, everything that I have. Now think, what does Jesus have? That'd be pretty much everything. I mean, he's the instrument through which all things were created. He brought everything into reality. He redeemed it all. He did all of this. He says, everything that I have, he says, he's going to give to you. I said this a couple of weeks ago. You're not smiling. Everything that God has, he gave to you. Everything. Everything he has, he gave to you. We're talking about Christmas on steroids. Everything that God has, he gave to us. That's the purpose of the Holy Spirit. Not speaking in tongues, that's child's play. It's to understand that now God is manifested, he's with us, he's in us, he's evidenced with us all the time so that we would know this. And Jesus says, you're not going to see me for a while, but then you are going to see me. And of course, we understand this. He's going to the Father. He says, you're not going to see me for a while, but then you are. He says, on the day of your physical expiry, he says, guess where you are? You're with me. He says, you just open your eyes and there you are, right there with me. And now you're going to understand, you were always there with me. I've never been separated from you. I have always been with you. Wherever you have been, I am, because you are mine. And I have given you everything. And Jesus told him, you can't understand this now. You're not going to understand this now. But after Pentecost, you will. He says, when Pentecost comes, then you'll understand. He says, you're going to be sad for a while. But he says, but then you're going to have a joy that's ridiculous. He says, because you will realize that what I told you is true. And that's really the key, is to understand by faith, to realize what the day of Pentecost means. We have been sealed by grace. In the ancient rite of baptism, they do this all the time. I do it. You know, I do it. You take oil, and whoever you're baptizing, you use that oil on them. You use that chrism. You take that oil, and very often you put it on their eyes, you put it on their nose, you put it on their mouth, you put it on their ears. To indicate that they have been sealed by the Holy Spirit of God. That God has now, that God is protecting you. God is keeping you from evil. God is the one who is keeping you. That God is present with you. That God has received you, and God is keeping you. And St. Peter talks about that, doesn't it? Doesn't he? He says very clearly, he says, you are being kept for a place that has been reserved for you in the heavenlies. He says, you're being kept. And that's why Jesus says, he says, yes, it's going to be difficult for you. But he says, but I'm telling you, you're going to see me. And now here comes the greatest thing about Pentecost. And this is the thing we forget. He says, because I'm telling you. He says, on that day, he says, up until this point, you haven't asked for anything in my name. He says, but I'm telling you. He says, after that, he says, you are going to ask. And he says, and you don't even need me to ask for you. He says, you are going to ask. And as a matter of fact, you will receive what you ask because the Father loves you. The Father loves you because you have loved me and you have faith in me. He says, so I'm leaving. He says, I have to leave. So that promise of that Holy Spirit would come upon you, so that you would know day in and day out, moment by moment, that you are kept. You are preserved. It's you, by the Holy Spirit of God, that can know this reality of the ever-present God and live in that assurance. He says, so I'm leaving, but I'm not leaving. I'm giving you this Spirit so that you will always be with me and I will always be with you. And whatever you ask, you will receive. You're not smiling. I don't know what the problem is. This is like one of the greatest things that ever happens Now, God is indwelling us. God is with us. Now we understand. We don't walk through this life moping, hitting ourselves with a 2x4, thinking how awful we are. We come to this point of realizing very clearly that by the blood of Jesus Christ, we are cleansed. That we don't mope around in our sin, but rather we abound in God's grace. We understand and very clearly we go forth into the world abounding in God's grace. We go out and understand because the Spirit of God is present in us and with us. And I told you I'd read the end of it, and I'm going to. Because it says, his disciples said to him, now we get it. I love that. They turn around and say, now you're speaking plainly. Now we get it. He says, and we're sure that you know everything. And it's like, well, glad you finally realized that. You know, now we know you know everything. And needest not that anyone should ask you. By this we believe that you came forth from God. And Jesus knows that they don't. He says they still can't really believe. And so he says to them, do ye now believe? Do you really believe? And he knows that they can't. And he tells them, behold, the hour comes. Yes, is now. He says, when you're going to be scattered. He says, every one of you will leave me alone. He says, but I won't be alone. Because the Father is with me. He says, but what I'm telling you is that I spoke these things to you so that when the Spirit comes, you will honestly believe in me. You will believe in me. And he says, and you will have peace. You will have peace. He says, in the world, you're going to have tribulation. He says, you're going to have difficulty. But be of good cheer, he says. I have overcome the world. Come on, you gotta smile. I know for church people that's hard. I have overcome the world. I have overcome the world, he says. The Spirit of the one who has overcome the world is in you. He's in me. The world has been overcome. You understand the nature of our idolatry now because we're so guided by the world. So often everything that we do is in relation to the world. It's what the world tells us first, and then we react to it. And you understand we've been deceived. If we're just simply reacting to the world, then we've been deceived. It's when we realize the power of God through the Holy Spirit of God that we celebrate on the day of Pentecost that we recognize the triumph over the world. It's not the world that informs us as to how we live. It's how we live. We live first before that world can have any impact upon us. By the Spirit of God, we live and walk and live out our lives because we belong to God. We don't live in fear of the world. We don't live in fear of what's happening in the world. We don't live in fear of those things. We understand them and we act accordingly by grace because that's how we now live. We live by grace. And you understand, if we go through the fruits of the Spirit, it talks about very clearly what are the fruits of the Spirit. And hopefully you know those because I'm running out of time and time is important. But the fact of the matter is, you understand the nature of those gifts of the Holy Spirit. Well, what are they? They're love, peace, joy. They're everything that's good. Everything that's good. Look around. Look around. Do you look around and look for love, peace, and joy? Or do you look for garbage? Because if you look for garbage, you're going to find it. And if you find enough garbage, it's going to make you bitter and mean, and you're just going to be a rotten person to hang out with. But if you understand the peace of God, the love of God, the joy of God, in the Holy Spirit of God, everything changes. Everything changes. The bitterness is taken away. The meanness is taken away. There's simply this understanding that you are a child of God. And so is the person next to you. So is the person that you will encounter out on the street. Because the Spirit of God has been poured out upon all flesh. John Lennon wrote these words. When you find out that your brother is everyone you meet, we need to engage the world with Pentecost. We are the first fruits of the Spirit. So that love, peace, and joy would dominate us, and we would live. We don't have a day like this where we talk about this, but we can do it. We can say, Happy Pentecost. Merry Pentecost. Have a wonderful Pentecost. Because that's the way it's going to be forever. Because of the Holy Spirit of God. For Jesus' sake. Amen. Let us pray. Gracious and almighty God, what a marvelous gift. You gave us your Son. You gave us your Spirit. What more could you ever give us? Father, place that joy in our hearts. As David calls it, the joy of salvation. Give us and renew us in your Spirit every day. That we would dwell in that love, that joy, and that peace. And Father, that we would enjoy that fellowship with you. Because it's eternal. And these things, Father, we do bless you for, because you are worthy of all glory and honor and praise. For Jesus' sake. Now may the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God, the communion and fellowship of his Holy Spirit be with us all now and forever. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit.